You're listening to The Big Show on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Welcome back to the program. It's Big Show, hour number four. It's Garrett Vanderplug along with you, filling in for Patrick Dumont. I'm coming to you live from the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studios. Do you have cracks in your walls, floors, or ceilings? Visit dlbasementsystems.com for a free estimate. They are all things basementy. Rolling on here a couple minutes before we wrap things up here on a Monday edition of The Big Show. And we go down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline to talk to the editor-in-chief over at the fourth period, Mr. David Pagnotta. David, thanks so much for your time this morning. How's it going?
Absolutely. I'm good. I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no worries. No worries. Always love it when we have our chats with you, whether it's with Rustic and Rose or even with Patty Dumont. And first time you and I get the chat here. So let's start with the Calgary Flames. Looking back on this Flames season and you watching it from a distance, how are you really going to look back on this year's version of the Calgary Flames?
Probably looking at this as a learning curve type experience for I guess Craig Conroy and the rest of the staff in terms of the bigger takeaways for me, primarily because did this team wait a little bit too long and to make the changes that a lot of people thought they were inevitably going to make or thought were necessary, and then at the same time, just trying to get to a point where you want. And I understand where this team wants to go in the direction they'd like to take. But at the same time, sometimes making some necessary changes sooner than later, would be probably better served down the road and into the future. But also looking at this team, looking at some of the takeaways from it, some of the performances by some of the players, Sharon Govich with 30 goals on the season, that's been a key add certainly for them in the Toffoli trade that they made with Jersey, and just seeing his continued development, what Mackenzie Weegar has done with this group this season on the back end, averaging just under 23 minutes a night and putting up close to 50 points. That's a strong takeaway. Certainly for me, the performances of Kadri and Coleman up top, as well. And then just getting the ice time and the experience from some of the younger players with the changes that are expected to be made or modifications, I guess, of the lineup that are expected this summer, that with whatever those additions end up being with the younger guys that are ready to take some next steps next season. This is the bigger, for me, the takeaways are looking towards what they're going to do and how next season is going to be positioned for this group. And can they get back into legitimate, wild card contention?
Obviously, now that the playoffs are out of reach, Flames fans are looking towards the offseason and what moves Craig Conroy might make. Is having conversations with Jacob Markstrom and understanding what his future is still the biggest task on his agenda, you think?
It better be. Okay. Taking what you learned this season and taking, the Noah Hanifin situation probably ran way longer than it should have. Elias Lindholm probably took a little bit of time as well, but understanding that situation, they tried to get ahead of it, moving him to Vancouver, right before All-Star. That was a good sign, but then, the trickle effect didn't really occur in the manner in which myself and I think a few other people anticipated. So with respect to Jacob Markstrom, have another conversation when the season ends, have a strong understanding of where both sides are at, and if it is, we're going to revisit New Jersey and try to make that work or another destination, then get it over with. Do it this summer, pull the trigger, get it over with, move forward with Wolf and Vladar as your 1-2 going into next season, which was kind of effectively going to be the plan had they pulled off the Markstrom move. So just get that understand. Don't wait until May or June. Figure this out. At least have that conversation during the exit interviews. Have a sit down, have a discussion, understand where things are at, and if there is an openness to continuing that, going down that path in terms of moving them, then so be it. Make sure everyone's on that page, make sure there's that understanding, and then try to complete it by the time we get to in and around the draft or July 1, and then move forward there. But I think you're right. I think without question, you've got to nip this one in the butt right away in terms of at least getting a proper understanding of what the direction is with your goaltender.
Another guy on this Flames team that has, I think, a super interesting future of whether or not what type of player you're really going to get is Andre Kuzmenko. What have you made of him in a Flames jersey, and what do you think the trade value is for him? I feel like he's a super interesting guy.
Yeah, well, certainly. And you know, looking at, you know, the numbers overall are pretty solid. 17 points in 23 games, you know, that he's output with the Flames. You know, he comes into this situation the Flames have him in this situation with a couple of different options. And I'm sure they're going to have some type of discussion as well at some point in the offseason, if they haven't already, with respect to what the future could look like, you know, for him. Is it in this, you know, are you sticking around? Is there an interest in sticking around, you know, because he's got one more year on his deal? Or are you looking at, you know, is this going to be a short-term, you know, potential fix? I think you have that conversation with him, with the agent, and then make a determination as things go. And this, because of that extra year, there's no necessary rush if you are to move him. You could play things out, see how he performs during the season. Does he mesh well in your top six next year? Does he fit? Is he putting up numbers? Are we in contention? If not, then he's going to be a potential for a great trade chip, you know, ahead of the deadline next season. The Flames have options with him, but this is another scenario where you at least want to have a conversation with him, with the agent, to see where this could potentially fit. If things go well, do you want to be here beyond next season or not? And that's something that I think will take place at some point after the season wraps up.
David Pagnotta is the editor-in-chief of The Fourth Period, and he is joining me on the Atlas Beats and Sports Bar guest hotline. It's GBP along with you here on Hour 4 of the Big Show here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Out West, the playoffs is kind of like what you see is what you get at the moment for those eight teams, and we thought the same for the Eastern Conference a few weeks ago. But now that playoff race has come alive. Who do you like to grab that final wild card spot?
Oh, man, Garrett, you got five teams battling.
Yeah, I know.
Effectively for two spots, pretty much, because of the race. You got four teams battling for at least for one spot in the Metro in that third position, with the Islanders currently holding it. Detroit's right now in the final wild card position, you know, in the East, but Pittsburgh, Washington, Philly, both behind them both behind them by a point. This, you know, I thought the final race, the big one that we were all going to focus on, was going to be who's taking the Central Division title.
Yeah,
and it looks like Dallas is, and now it's like Dallas kind of seems to have that, at least a comfortable enough lead, especially after the performance last night against Colorado. But now it's, what the hell's going on at the bottom of the East? And with all these teams, but Pittsburgh has certainly a big game tonight in Toronto. Can they keep that momentum going? Can they collect another couple of points against the Leafs, who seem to be stabilized in the third spot in the Atlantic, even though Tampa's been, you know, pressing. They've widened the gap a little bit, 4-point difference there. But Pittsburgh, look, every game that they play now are effectively must wins, all of these teams. And it's going to be interesting tomorrow when the Capitals face off against the Red Wings. We're going to have other matchups that are going to be, you know, effectively 4-point games. This is going to be, I think, a dogfight right to the finish that, as you said, a lot of people didn't expect. I didn't expect it. Not right. This many teams for the East, but this just adds that extra spice and excitement to the final, you know, week or so of this regular season.
What are you making of this kind of, I guess the term might be collapse of the Philadelphia Flyers? No one, to be fair, no one had them this high at the start of the season, but I'm not sure many people saw this fall from grace going to happen, because really Torts has had these guys playing pretty consistent all season.
He has. He really has. And you know what? You know, I'll throw Washington right there as well, to a certain extent, because they've now lost six in a row if you include some of the OTLs. They also had a comfortable, they reclaimed a comfortable position in terms of the final wild card spot, and then they just dropped. So I would put them in a very similar boat, similar position. But from Philly's perspective, they were in that three slot in the Metro for a heck of a long time, and things just seem to have fallen out. And I know a lot of people love to toss blame in the easy direction of John Tortorella, but there's only so much the coach can do. And the same excuses don't always apply for, you know, a team that was in that position. You should be able to keep that momentum going if you're a player on the ice. And they have not looked good. at any facet, at any end of the ice, structurally. Yes, a lot of that certainly comes into play, but at the same time, from a coaching side of things, but at the same time, if the guys aren't going to produce on the ice, if they're going to half-ass it, there's only so much the coach and the coaching staff can really do. I agree with you. This was a team that was not supposed to be in this running, that was not supposed to be in a third slot in the Metro for most of the season when this season began. They're still in their rebuilding process, and they've made that abundantly clear even leading up to the trade deadline. You move out Sean Walker and all that. We're going to just keep moving with what we're doing. We're not going to escalate things just because things are looking good at the moment. We want to continue this pace, and that's what has been Danny Briere's message, their GM, all season long. And he's been aligned with John Tortorella as well as Keith Jones, the president there. But with this team performing at the way it has this season, to just bottom out like this has got to be pretty, pretty frustrating from a fan base perspective as well. I don't want to count them out just yet, but I mean, that loss, that 6-2 loss the other night to Columbus for me was almost the nail because they've played their last four regulation losses have come to teams that have been well out of the playoffs. I think all have been eliminated, and they were outscored 19-6, which coincidentally was also same situation for the Capitals. Their last four regulation losses also outscored 19-6. I don't know what's going on out there,
right?
But you know, if these teams want to get going, there's no time like the present, because your season could be over before you know it. From Philly's side of things, a young team like that to make the postseason, to get that type of experience playoff-wise, even if you get shellacked in the first round, whether it's against the Rangers or Carolina, I mean, that type of experience sometimes is invaluable, and that's kind of what Torts has been trying to allude to and try to get that message through to his team. They just haven't been responding.
The other team out in Pennsylvania, the Pittsburgh Penguins, and it's a one-man show out there. Sidney Crosby doing all he can to will his team into the postseason. Can he be simply enough for them to make any sort of noise in the postseason if they're able to grab that final spot?
I mean, with Sid, you're never going to count anything out with him because, you know, you ask players every year who are some of the top guys you don't want to face off against or who are some of the most elite in the league, and Sid's always up there in the top three, four. When you start polling some of these guys, some of the players around the National Hockey League and what he's done, 18 points, I think, or 16 or 18 points in his last eight games, really getting this team back on track. And it's also, helped push some of their other players. Malkin's played a lot better lately. Brian Rust has done well. Chris Letang's got 9 points in his last seven, eight games. So it's starting to, and Michael Bunting has actually done really well since coming over in that Gensel trade from Carolina. So you're getting some pieces that are now, you get a little extra confidence, a little extra jump in your step, and it kind of spreads throughout, contagious, really. It spreads throughout the lineup. The Pittsburgh Penguins, and tonight's going to be a great test. They're playing the Leafs as well, and this is going to be certainly something. I'll be there to check this one out. It's certainly going to be something that, I'm going to focus on, not just Sid, but some of the other guys on this Pittsburgh Penguins team to see if they're starting to fire on all cylinders. And if they are, playoff time, you never know what can happen. But if Sid can help lead this team into the postseason in either the three slot in the Metro or that final wild card seed in the East, that's going to be one hell of a storyline and one hell of a task this year.
What do you think his future is like? He doesn't come across as a guy who wants to ring chase. He's a loyal guy. I'm sure he wants to finish his career in Pittsburgh, but that being said, he isn't slowing down. He's still at the peak of his powers. What do you think his future is like out in Pittsburgh?
I think he sticks around. One of the craziest stats that I've noticed with how well and how many accolades Crosby has throughout his career so far, this was the third season that he scored 40 or more goals in his career in the National Hockey League. He had 51 towards the start of his career, 44 in the middle, got 40 plus now with the season still going. I was a little surprised that he's only done it three times. But just to your point, it goes to show you just how well this guy's playing. He's not slowing down by any stretch. He's got another year on his contract. I suspect we'll get an extension or hear of an extension come the start of July. Been saying that for a good chunk of the season. I know a lot of people have been wondering whether or not he will stay or not. Everything that I've been told throughout the year has been he's going to stick around and play this one out. And as long as he's there and the rest of the bulk of the guys are there, the mandate will be try to go after a Stanley Cup. So, and that's kind of reflective of what we saw from the Gensel trade. It wasn't fully, you know, young kids and prospects and draft picks. They added Bunting to the mix, a guy that has a couple more years on his contract that can fit in. And clearly he's done well so far in, you know, his relatively short time in Pitt. So I think Crosby sticks around a little bit longer, and ownership down is going to say, hey, if as long as this guy's on this team,
right,
the mindset is to try to chase the cup.
We had a text topic last week here on the show, and we kind of discussed which bandwagon looks the most fun or the most promising come playoff time. If you had to hitch your wagon to one team, which one would it be?
Ooh, I still like the Florida Panthers.
Okay. We came up with Dallas and Carolina as our picks.
Dallas would be my Western pick. And I mean, full disclosure, I picked them at the start of the season to win the cup against New Jersey. So maybe I'll be one for two there. I still like Dallas. I like their depth. They didn't have to go out and do too much. They bring in Tanev, obviously, to stabilize and solidify the back end. Their depth also comes from within. With the way Stan Coven is playing, Maverick Bork has made his NHL debut this past week. He's going to be able to step in. He's done great things in the A as well, just like Stan Coven did. This is a really deep team. And if Jake Ottinger, and he's been playing better lately, if he gets back to the way he's played, you know, last year at least, this is going to be a ridiculously dangerous team, and I could see them making a heck of a run out of the West. And for me in the East, still the Florida Panthers. The depth that they bring, the physicality that they bring come playoff time, they're not rushing some of their guys back from injury. They're going to give them, you know, the time they need before playoffs. This team, to me, top to bottom, very, very deep. And Bobrovsky continues to play well in that. It would not shock me at all to see a final matchup between the Stars and Panthers, and I think that would be one hell of a tilt.
David Paniota from the Fourth Period is joining me here on the Atlas Beats and Sportsbar Guest Hotline. It's hour four of the big show here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. From one race to another one, who do you got taking the Hart Trophy race?
I know Nate McKinnon's done a lot lately, and you know, and I'm not taking anything away from it. I just feel like what Nikita Kucherov has done this season, the gap between where he's at and the next highest guy on the point total list on Tampa is Braden Point. And there's like a 30, 40 point gap there.
Yeah.
He has just really propelled this team and continuing to put up the numbers and create offense and create chances for his group. And help get them back into playoff. They were out for a little bit. So he basically got them back in the mix. Like, that's not a team I would look forward to playing. If right now it looks like they'd face off against the Boston Bruins. If I'm the Bruins, that's not a fortuitous situation for me. If Vasilevskiy gets going, and I'm still waiting for him to just flip that switch and just take it up a notch or two, and maybe he's waiting for playoffs. But that's not a team.
They don't feel like a wild card
really
team.
Enjoy playing.
They don't feel like a wild card team at all. Yeah.
No, right, exactly. And not only that, like the performance of Kucherov and how well he's played. And I think I haven't made a final determination yet, but I think he's going to be at least one or two on my Hart ballot. Because of that, he's taken away the spotlight from Braden Point, who's got 40 plus goals, from Victor Hedman, who's having one ridiculous rebound season. And, like, he's probably going to be a top five finalist for the Norris this year. I don't think he's going to be a top three, but I think he'll be in the top five when all the votes come in for how he's performed this season. Not only has he put up 75 points quietly, but he's playing really and has played really, really well defensively as well. And the spotlight that Nikita Kucherov has demanded this season has taken away, and probably the guys are fine with it, from the performances of some of the other guys on that team. Even, you know, Hagel's done tremendously well for this group, 60-plus points and so on. So everything that Kucherov has done is, for me, I cannot shy away or look away from it. I think this is his trophy to lose, to be honest.
Yeah, if you're looking at like the exact definition of what the MVP should be, there's no doubt. I think Kucherov might have the best claim to that argument if you're looking at it through that lens. But for the other voters, how much is the Art Ross Trophy tied to the way they're going to vote? Does it feel like the Art Ross title is what's going to really almost be a tiebreaker for how they swing their votes on the Hart?
Might be. It might certainly be the tiebreaker for it for some guys or some people that vote for it as well. I mean, Connor McDavid, obviously, the climb that he's been on and the tear that he's been on offensively lately is tremendous. Again, mentioning MacKinnon and what he did last month alone was fantastic offensively. I think Artemi Panarin should certainly get some consideration as well for his performance, 115 points on the year so far, over 40 goals, first time in his career, and he's a pass-first kind of guy. You ask anybody in New York, they're absolutely loving what the Breadman has done this season. And another reason, like another player that has really taken his team on his back. So I think certainly the point production and the offensive total will come into play. You know, it's funny, Austin Matthews was getting so much attention because of, you know, his goal outburst and everything. And when he was on track for 70 plus goals, but he would certainly, you know, be up there as well, because he's really stepped up at certain moments for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And even though they've got, you know, William Nylander, who's on the cusp of another 100 or his first 100 point season, but the second guy to do it on Toronto, Austin's already up there. Mitch Marner, before his injury, he was on pace and on track for that as well. They have the other pieces in place that have really performed well, but so maybe that takes away a little bit from the overall performance of what Matthews brings to the table. But I think certainly the numbers will definitely play a factor for some of the voters out there. But again, for me, I think Kucherov, what he's done, the way he's kind of just taken the Tampa Bay Lightning on his back into the playoffs, that's got to count for a lot.
David Pagnotta is the editor-in-chief of The Fourth Period. David, thanks again for your time, and let's do it again soon, eh?
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
There you go. David Pagnotta on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. And that, my friends, is how we're going to wrap up today's program. Thanks to everyone who listened, and thanks to our guests, Dan Schulman, Brent Cron, and David Pagnotta, who you just heard. A reminder, if you missed any of those discussions, you can find them on our podcast streams, Apple, Google, Spotify, or anywhere else you may stream your favorite podcast. Coming up on the station right after I sign off here, we got the Jeff Merrick Show, and tonight, this evening, first pitch, 5 o'clock, the Blue Jays home opener. They take on the Seattle Mariners. Jose Barrios on the mound for the Toronto Blue Jays. Hopefully you guys enjoy that. Thanks again to our guests. Thanks again to everyone who listened. I've been GVP. We'll talk to you tomorrow. See ya.